Turn over to John chapter 13 here, folks. John 13, start with here this morning. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're going to go down to verse 30, and 30 is basically just to establish where we're at. That's the Last Supper, as you probably know, and Judas Iscariot has just received the sop from Jesus Christ, marking him as the guy that would betray him. In verse 30, and then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. That was Judas. Now verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Let's pray. Father, we come to you here again this morning. We pray, Lord, you'll show us something. Lord, we need to see some things about ourselves. We grow far too confident, far too self-reliant at times. And we lean upon ourselves sometimes more than we lean upon God. And Father, certainly there may be somebody here this morning that's never really leaned upon Jesus Christ, never really trusted him. Pray you might help them to see their manifest need for that here. Lord, we pray that we would all leave better for having come here this morning, not because of who's preaching, Lord, but certainly because of what's being preached. And that's the Word of God and the grace of God ministered through the Word of God. And we just pray you'd help here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is one of those sermons that we're going to talk about Simon Peter here for this morning for a little while. I don't know if you ever stopped to think about it. I got counting the other day. Rough counts. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Simon Peter was brought up in narratives. You know, basically, the Lord highlighted Simon Peter, put it that way. The Lord highlighted Simon Peter something like 250 times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and then a few other places later on in the Scriptures. I mean, he brought Simon Peter to the forefront and highlighted him 250 times. Now, that's a lot more than anybody else. I mean, John is, as mentioned, something like 100 to 120 times. He was the beloved disciple. Judas is mentioned 35 times or so. James is mentioned 35 times. But Simon Peter was the one that seemed to get an awful lot of the billing and an awful lot of the time. And I wonder if you ever thought about why that might be. And I think that part of the reason it might be is he happened to be one of the more transparent disciples. I mean, let's face it, folks. I mean, Simon Peter was highlighted so often that some of his goofs kind of stick out. He was always the first guy that with his hand in the air. He was always the first guy to stick his foot in his mouth. He was, like I said, kind of more transparent, more impulsive than some of the others. I will say this from that, folks. Simon Peter was a long way from the condescending, imperious pontiff of Roman Catholic mythology. Okay? If you think Simon Peter is like Roman Catholicism paints him, you haven't read the Scriptures. On the other hand, I do want to say Simon Peter was not a goofball. Okay? Now, we preach about him a lot because a lot of his mistakes were self-evident. Like I said, the Lord, because he spent so much time putting him in the book, you know, some of his mistakes, his comments, the times he put his foot in his mouth, the times that he got pressed into the corner, the times that he said dumb things, asked dumb questions, those things came out more often because he did have a quick opinion. He was naive about some stuff, right? And he was just one of those guys. I keep using the word. He was just transparent. You didn't have to worry about what Peter thought. He would tell you, right? He was one of those guys. And at the same time, you know, you look at those things, and there are times you can kind of laugh at him. At the same time, you can't forget that he preached the Pentecost sermon, right? You can't forget that he was the leader of the apostles, basically, until Paul stepped into the forefront a little bit later, you know, right? Simon Peter was not the Inspector Clouseau of the apostles. Did I date myself there? He was not the Columbo of the disciples, all right? You just so happened that you got to see more of him. And I wanted to talk to you about that, because having said that, as like I said, sometimes Peter is preached and it's kind of like he was a goofball, kind of like he was a stumbler or a bumbler or some such thing. But having said that, the fact is that we find an awful lot of ourselves in Peter, do we not? Maybe I should speak for me. I find an awful lot of me in Simon Peter. And the fact of the matter is that when you stop to think about what man's done, you know, historians and people in this world would try to lead you to think that human history is filled with these lofty, noble accomplishments and thoughts, and all the art is just wonderful. Everything that man's ever done is just a wonderful, noble, lofty thing. And that's just not true. The fact is, through 6,000 years of history, if you want to look at it spiritually, and we'll look at it spiritually, human life is a train wreck. It's just been one long train wreck. It's 6,000 years of the Three Stooges meeting Laurel and Hardy. When it gets down to it, all men are blondes, spiritually speaking, right? And I want to spend a little time this morning. I want to show you in Simon Peter, and then I have some questions to ask you. Simon Peter had the noble position of walking beside Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. And here you come to this passage here, and this is the night of Jesus Christ's betrayal, right? So Simon Peter, whether he realizes it fully or not, is coming to the end of his time with Jesus Christ. And so it is, by the way, that you live in the last days. You live in the latter days. There's not many more moments left in this dispensation, this age that God's working in. It's not long before Jesus Christ returns. And so we got some things in common with Simon Peter. And I just want to, I'll title this sermon, Applied Human Bumbling. Because sometimes, folks, I mean, Simon Peter kind of bumbles some things up, right? We all know about those mistakes. But I'd like to show you and those mistakes. And I have a couple of questions to ask. All right, first of all, in John chapter 13, I have to give Brother Ralph, the guy that I preached with out in Montana, the credit for pointing this out to me. And I hadn't really quite seen it this way before. But boy, once I saw it, I started seeing other stuff too. John chapter 13, we're reading along, right? And Judas Iscariot finally leaves the room. And Jesus Christ says, since he's left the room, in verse 31, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him and himself, and shall straightway glorify him." Now watch. Verse 33. Now, you're Simon Peter. You're sitting there. John, the beloved, is leaning on Jesus Christ's bosom. And you're sitting there, and you're paying rapt attention to what Jesus Christ is saying, right? Wrong? Right. Okay. Yes. Hold up a sign. Answer now. Verse 33. Now watch. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." So I'm going away. And I told them that. I'm telling you that. I'm going away, and you can't follow. Then he goes on to something else, right? Briefly. Now look at that something else. This is a new commandment. You'd think that'd get your attention, right? "I give you a new commandment." Whoa, something new, right? All right. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another." Here's Peter. "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." I told you that already, you idiot. "But thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now?" And what I want you to see there is, I'm going somewhere y'all can't come. But I have a new commandment for you. And there's some deep stuff in that new commandment. You love each other like I loved you. There's some deep thoughts in there. But Simon Peter's still stuck back on that other thought. See, he's just like us. I mean, the Lord says, I'm going away, you can't come with me. I have something else to show you, and he tells him what he has to show you. But Simon Peter's stuck. He has a glazed look in his eye. And he goes back and says, where are you going and why can't I come? It's kind of funny because Jesus says, I'm going some way and ye, all of you, cannot come. Peter's answer to that was, where are you going and why can't I come? Right? What I wanted you to see there is he missed something along the way. I mean, what he missed in the time that he phased out was the new commandment, verse 34 and verse 35. And I'm not preaching on verse 34 and 35. What I wanted you to see is that Simon Peter missed something. All right? Now, folks, you know what that's like. I make announcements at church only to have somebody come up right afterwards and say, when are we having a picnic? I've been talking about a picnic for weeks. You know? Yeah, I can start making announcements and some of your eyes glaze over and you're sitting there drooling out the side of your mouth. I know what that's like. Sometimes Marcy's talking to me at home. I'm the same way. It's man's like that. We phase out. Marcy's telling me something and I'll suddenly snap out of wherever I've been and I've been sitting there looking at her and I'll have to say, would you say that again? A few months back, we bought the Andy Griffith Show, one of those seasons. Remember Goober from the Andy Griffith Show? Somebody's explaining something to Goober, and Goober goes, and they go, do you understand? He goes, say it again. That's the way I feel sometimes, you know, say it again. Well, see, folks, sometimes you can miss them. I got a question to ask you. I told you, I was going to show you in Simon Peter. Simon Peter missed something. Let me ask you a question. What have you missed that you should have gotten? What do you miss that you should have gotten? I mean, sometimes people miss something because they're stuck. Simon Peter got his mind bogged down on, I'm going away, you can't follow. And so that's all he can think about. He missed the new commandment and he comes out and says, where were you going and why can't I go with you? Right? Sometimes you miss something because you're stuck. Sometimes you miss something because you're preoccupied, because you're distracted. Sometimes you miss something because you weren't listening. Sometimes you miss something because you have selective hearing. I live in a house full of selective hearers. We can be in the van having a conversation and I'm interrupted about 6 times in 5 minutes by somebody asking a question that we just talked about. Selective hearing, right? But let me ask you a question. I told you I'd show you Simon Peter and you. What have you missed? I told you I saw this in a couple other places after I got thinking about it. Look in Luke 22 real quick. Luke 22. I'm still talking about what have you missed. What have you missed? What have you missed along the way that you should have gotten? Luke chapter 22 and go down to verse 31. Now, I've always read this kind of a different way, but I got thinking about it, and I got wondering, because I found this example in 2 or 3 other spots. I have to show you that later, but in 31, Luke 22, 31, now watch. Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I've always thought of Simon Peter as when the Lord said, you know, when thou art converted, Simon Peter going, what? Well, Lord, I've already been converted. I've walked with you for all this time. But that's not really what he said, is it? That's not what he said, is it? What he said was, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. I tell you what I'm wondering now that I saw this other thing. I'm wondering if Simon Peter's mind got stuck again. And he missed the entire statement about when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I think he's still stuck back in verse 32 on, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Because he doesn't respond like a guy that's just been told he wasn't saved. He responds like a guy who's a little offended that somebody's just told him that his faith wasn't adequate. I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. I'm wondering if he might have missed the conversion part. Now listen, I'm asking you, did you miss the conversion part? I'm asking you what you've missed. You know, Simon Peter sat at the feet of Jesus Christ day after day, week after week, for 3.5 years of his life, just about. And Jesus Christ sat around that fire and talked with them and all kinds of things. And yet in the end, you know, in a lot of those conversations, you can find where Simon Peter missed some stuff. Folks, I wonder what you might have missed. I'm talking to Christians, too. I don't know, maybe what have you missed? Sometimes, you know, it seems like, you know, folks will sit in a congregation like this and hear what they should do, what they need to do, what the Bible says about stuff, and just never seems to sink in. Is it selective hearing? Is it distraction? I don't know. What have you missed? I'll show you something else, though. Then we'll talk a little bit more. Go back to Luke chapter 5. Now, we've been to Luke 5 many times before. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, it's back now early in Jesus Christ's ministry. In fact, this is the first time in Luke that Simon Peter even shows up. In Luke chapter 5, go down to verse 2. He saw two ships standing by the lake. This is Christ now. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, you know what? So you learned something about Peter here, I think. Simon Peter winds up being a pretty malleable, flexible, agreeable fellow, doesn't he? Now, what I mean by this, folks, Simon Peter is he makes a living fishing for a living. He makes a living fishing for a living. That makes sense. He makes a living fishing for a living. He's a fisherman. He's a professional fisherman. This guy walks up, and to our knowledge, at least in Luke, they haven't met. At least they have no intimate knowledge one of another. Maybe he's heard of Jesus Christ before, but he does no great intimate knowledge of him, right? And Jesus Christ walks up. Now, this is Peter's boat. And Jesus Christ walks up in verse 3 and says, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he did. Somebody walks up to you downtown Minneapolis and says, let's get in your car and take a ride. What are you going to say? That's what I mean. Simon Peter is a pretty affable fellow, don't you think? Look in verse 4. And when he had left speaking, he's done preaching now, launch out into the deep. Well, not only are we going to take a ride in your car, but I'll tell you where we're going to go. Now, at this point, it's not hard to imagine Peter saying, look, get lost. We've been out fishing all night. We've caught nothing. I've let you use my boat, but I am tired and we're clean. I'm going home, going to bed, you know, hit the road. That's not what he did. He says, let down your nets for a draught. He did let down his net for a draught. Like I said, Simon Peter is not a punchy guy. I mean, he's a pretty affable fella. And you know what? I bring that out because I know that there's a lot of people that if Jesus Christ personally walked up and asked them to do something with some of their stuff, they probably would do it. I know folks that are charitable with their business. I know folks that would give to a good cause if they're assured that it's a good cause. They'll go to some extra trouble for somebody. They will go to church dutifully. They will fulfill their religious duties as they understand them, quote unquote, for Christ. Right? Because they're good folks. They're affable people. They mean nobody any harm and all that. But there's one thing that Simon Peter did not do. In verse 4, Jesus said, "Let down your nets for a draught." And the Bible says that Simon Peter let down his net for a draught. Now, folks, that's just one little letter. That's just an S at the end of the word. But Simon Peter says, "I'll let down one, but I'm not going to let down two or three or four or however many we have been fishing with. I'll let down one." Now, the thing that I wanted you to see with that is that that S on the end of net, that S, that represents an awful lot of trouble that came to pass. Because when he let down his net for a draught, the number of fish were too many for that net, and that net broke. A bunch of fish got away. A bunch of fish were not in the net that could have been in the nets had he done what he was told. Both ships almost sank under the load of it all. There was just a whole lot of trouble. There was just a whole lot of involvement with all that. Now, I'm just telling you, Simon Peter did a lot of things right. But what have you not done? He let down his net, but he didn't let down his nets. It brings up a question, doesn't it? What have you not done? I mean, in the end, what Simon didn't do, it only cost him some fish that he lost that he could have had. It cost him some labor. It cost him some net cord and mending the nets again and cleaning up again. It cost him that. I'll grant you that. But let me ask you a question. What if what you have left undone is indispensable? Ever think about that? I mean, I told you I was going to show you, Simon, you. I told you I was going to show you in Simon Peter. Okay? Well, Simon Peter left some things undone because he was kind of flippant about a couple of things. He got most of it right, but the part that he didn't get right made a mess. Right? What have you left undone? What if the thing that you've left undone is indispensable? For instance, Jesus Christ said, "You must be born again." Now, you know, folks, so we knocked doors. We had a really good crew out yesterday. I don't know how many doors we knocked. But most of the people that I talked to have been baptized, go to church, take communion, consider themselves, quote unquote, faithful Christians. Right? Now, look, you're supposed to be a good person. If you become a Christian, you're supposed to be a good person. Right? You're supposed to get baptized. You're supposed to take communion. You're supposed to go to church. You're supposed to care about other people. All those folks that I asked that question, I would then say, I wonder, have you ever been born again? And you know what? I saw something slide over their eyes and their faces. The faces went flat. They became poker faces. And they started backing away and closing the door just as fast as they could. See, folks have been in Minnesota for 20-some years. And there's something that I've learned. I've learned that people are real familiar with stuff. Most people that you know what baptism is. They may not know all that it means, but they know what it is. Most people that you know what communion is. Folks certainly know what church is, all right? But when you start asking specific questions, it starts getting really spooky. Because I asked somebody about something indispensable, and they started trying to close the door. Right? What have you left undone? I know you're probably a decent person. I know that you've probably been to church before. I know that you probably have some thoughts about God. Now, the Bible says that as many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Because if you haven't, that is an indispensable thing that you have left undone, no matter what else you've done right. You understand? Talked to a guy at the door yesterday. He comes to the door. Joseph and I were partners. He comes to the door. There's a plumber van out front. He's a plumber, right? Younger guy, I don't know, 30-ish, 35, comes to the door, t-shirt, barefoot, you know, it's his day off. And you can tell he's not 100% happy that two dudes have shown up on his front door on a Saturday. And I asked him I told him who I was, asked him if he goes to church anywhere. You know, we were in the neighborhood seeing if, you know, anybody, you know, didn't have a church. And he says, yeah, yeah. And you could tell he was, yeah, yeah, we're affiliated. I said, okay. I said, well, we're not really out to steal you from your church. Let me hand you something to read. This is a tract about the new birth. And I was wondering, I know you said you're affiliated, I know you have a church, but do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? And at this, he starts backing away, rolls his eyes, looks at the tract like I've handed him something infested with leprosy. And he's backing away, and I said, I could have let him back away, but I went ahead and said, you know, it's more than an affiliation, right? And he just kind of had this funny look on his face, and he goes, what? I said, it's more than an affiliation. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus said you must be born again. And he goes, what? Like that. I said, it's more than an affiliation, right? He goes, yeah, yeah, bam. You see, folks have a funny idea. I'm affiliated. What's that mean? I'm affiliated. It means he goes somewhere. It's flippant. It's shallow. It's empty. It's superficial. He'd left a lot undone. What he'd left undone was something indispensable. What have you left undone? What have you left undone? Look in Luke chapter 9 real quick, since you're nearby. Luke 9, what have you missed? What have you left undone? Luke chapter 9, go all the way over to verse 28. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he, Christ, took Peter and James and John and went up to a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, his raiment was white and glistering. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. It says in verse 32 that all this was going on, and they were heavy with sleep. They were asleep. I'll ask you a question. Through what have you slept? This kind of relates to what you've missed, I'll grant you. But through what have you slept? Folks, Simon Peter slept almost through Jesus Christ being transformed and transfigured before their eyes, talking with Moses and Elias. A little bit later in the book, Simon Peter sleeps while Jesus Christ is praying in the garden, where he sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. Wouldn't it have been cool to have been awake through that? Wouldn't it have been kind of nice to have been awake through the transfiguration on the mount? Let me ask you, through what have you slept? Here he wakes up in the middle of it. He's dumb with sleep. Says something dumb, verse 33, not knowing what he said. That's what it said, not knowing what he said. He hears God's voice here in the next couple of verses, but he's still kind of half out of it, kind of half asleep. Wouldn't it be nice to be awake? Folks, I was asleep in my Christian life, for 10 years. Asleep. I know people that have slept through thousands of gospel presentations. hundreds of opportunities to be born again, to be saved, and they slept through it. Ask your question, through what have you slept? Men have slept through a lot, haven't they? There's a book out, it's called At Dawn We Slept. You know what it's about? It's about the attack of Pearl Harbor. Okay? A lot of people were just asleep. People have slept through a lot. Through what have you slept? Let me show you something else. Look at Mark 14 real quick. Mark 14. What have you missed? What have you not done? See, Simon Peter's not a bumbler. He's just like me. Right? Simon Peter's not a goofball. You're just like him. We miss a lot. Sleep through a lot. There's a lot of stuff we don't do. Look at Mark chapter 14 real quick. Look at this. Mark 14. You see something we've already talked about here real plain again. Mark chapter 14 and go down to verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Now watch. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Did you notice what happened there? Jesus went from 27, you'll all be offended because the scripture says thus. Then he goes on to something else, verse 28. But after that I am risen, resurrection, right? I will go before you into Galilee. Now listen, folks, after Jesus Christ died for our sins, it is very plain that all those disciples that the resurrection of Jesus Christ caught, all those guys completely befuddled. They didn't expect that to happen, even though he had told them it would happen. In fact, he told them it would happen here. After that I am risen, I will go before you to Galilee. But see, Peter's still stuck on verse 27. He's still stuck back there with, you'll all be offended because of me. So he says, I won't be offended. He says, though all be offended. He was the first Calvinist. He was the first guy that ever believed that all didn't mean all. He says, though all, not me. And when Jesus Christ answered him, he said vehemently, no, not me. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, in what have you made yourself the exception? He made himself the exception. It's going to be this way, says Christ. The scripture says it's going to be this way. It's going to be this way. Not me. Though all, not me. Let me ask you, in what have you made yourself an exception? You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? Now, you know what? I talk to people all the time. And you get them talking, if they'll talk about spiritual things, and they'll say, oh yeah, everybody's a sinner, that's for sure. They'll agree with that. But when it comes to their sin being as damning and as bad as anybody else's, all have sinned, but mine aren't as bad as Ted Bundy's. Well, that's not the issue. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You fell short of the glory of God, then you fell short of everything. You see what I'm saying? You know, people, you say, it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. They'll go, well, I just don't believe that God is a harsh judge. God is love, right? You say, he that believeth on him, Christ, is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I mean, there's no middle ground. There's no fence to straddle. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, I just don't believe it's that. Listen, what does what you believe have to do with the sun rising and setting? Is what you believe going to stave off winter? Is what you believe going to change when a tulip plops out of the ground in the spring? See, there are some things that doesn't matter what you believe. You can say, I don't believe God will ever be a harsh judge. It doesn't matter what you believe. It only matters whether you're right or wrong. And if you believe that, you're wrong. If you believe there's more than one way to heaven, it doesn't matter what you believe. You're wrong. Now, God's given you a place where you can believe something that will change your destiny. And it has to do with what you do with Jesus Christ. Right? Let me ask you a question. In what have you made yourself the exception? Peter says, not me. Though all, not me. If anything, I am the one singular exception on the face of this earth. Now, in what have you made yourself the exception? You know, we're in a mortgage crisis, aren't we? It's all anybody can talk about. That's a mortgage crisis. Now, folks, there is just a basic... I'm no economist, and I'm no financial guru, but I know this. You've got to pay back what you borrowed. There's no exceptions. So this dweeb gets on the... Did you borrow anything? This dweeb gets on the TV the other night and says, well, I think we should give bankruptcy judges the right to change the principle of a loan. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you borrowed something, somebody has to pay for it. If you don't pay for it, then the taxpayers pay for it, didn't they? That's what this bailout got us. You say, what's the point? There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. Right? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You will not see it. You will not enter it if you've never been born again. Don't make the mistake of making yourself an exception. You can't just skim over that part and go to church and hope for the best and expect for it to come out anywhere right. You can't do that. I'm trying to show you in Simon Peter. You know where Simon Peter wound up that night? Simon Peter wound up that night off by himself, ashamed, weeping his eyes out because it all came to pass just exactly like Christ said it had come to pass. Now, there's just a couple other things here. Look in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18, go down to verse 10. Again, Christ almost to the very end of his life, he's about to enter into his great trial. John chapter 18. And starting down in verse 2, you can see that Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ, brought this whole company of people and came up and kissed Jesus Christ on the cheek. In the end, old Simon Peter had to step in. He just couldn't take no more. Amen? So down in verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. Servant's name was Malchus. And said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? In another place, of course, in another passage, it has Malchus' ear, the Lord reaching down and healing Malchus' ear. It also says that one of the things Christ said to Simon Peter, he turned and said, suffer ye thus far. So, you're supposed to be still, put your sword in your sheath. Now, you know, it's very plain here that Simon Peter stepped across the line, right? He went too far, right? I mean, Jesus said in verse 10, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You're intruding. You're trespassing. This is my ground. This is something I have to do, and you're going to have to stand by and abide by it. Okay? Let me ask you a question. In what have you overstepped your bounds? In what have you overstepped your bounds? Like I said, that'd be a trespass. Trespassing is you treading where you're not supposed to tread. Simon Peter treaded tonight, someplace that he shouldn't ought to have treaded. You know, Joseph knew when it came to committing adultery with Potiphar's wife, that was not a place that he could tread and get by with it. Could not trespass there. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Right? My question for you is, in what have you overstepped your bounds? And more importantly, Will it take a miracle to fix it? See, Malchus, it doesn't show it here, but it shows it in another passage in Luke. It shows that Jesus Christ reached down, took Malchus' ear, and healed Malchus on the spot, right? It took a miracle to fix Simon Peter's trespass. Now, let me tell you a little something. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a trespasser. You are on ground you're not supposed to be on. If you're like me, you're a liar, you're a murderer, you're an adulterer, you're every name just about that we could call you. Because if you haven't actually done it physically, it's what you are spiritually. That's what the Scripture teaches. It says that every one of us that's ever hated his brother is a murderer. Anybody that's looked on a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her already in his heart. I'll tell you what you are. You're a sinner. If you're a sinner, you're a trespasser. Now, I can tell you something. As a trespasser, it's going to take a miracle to put it back together. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, so you could have a miracle. I'm not talking about giving you a miracle Cadillac either. I'm not talking about you growing your leg back. I'm talking about a new birth. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, if you don't realize that you have overstepped your bounds in this life, I don't know how to help you. The Scripture says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Scripture says you're a transgressor. Scripture says you're a trespasser. It says that your iniquities have separated you and your God. It says you're dead in trespasses and sins. Without Christ, without hope, without God in this world, without excuse at judgment, you're a trespasser. It's going to take a miracle to get you back, and that's what the new birth is. Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, and then he offers you the gift of eternal life through himself. Not a bad deal. Look at one other thing here. Look in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Now, John chapter 21 is the last time that Jesus Christ, it's the last scene anyway, I should say, that Simon Peter and Jesus Christ are together for any real length of time, at least as a narrative in the passage. And Simon Peter goes out fishing, and you know how this all works out. Simon Peter goes out fishing, Jesus Christ is standing on the shore, and Simon Peter jumps in the lake and swims over to him. And then what proceeds is this, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Now, you know what? You know, that same scenario is repeated three times. Do you love me? Yeah, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Happens three times, right? You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but here's Simon Peter, and he's missed some stuff before. So in this last time they're together, Jesus Christ makes sure he doesn't miss anything. Three times. Got it? Simon Peter has not done a couple things before that he was supposed to. So Jesus Christ makes sure that he gets the message real plain. One time, a couple times, Simon Peter is sleeping through something. So Jesus Christ is, you sleep, Pete? You love me? Peter, did you sleep through that? And you love me, don't you? I want to make sure that he's not asleep. I want to make sure that he doesn't consider himself the exception. I mean, he did consider himself the exception and three times denied Jesus Christ the fire. So Jesus Christ comes back and three times says, now do you love me? Now do you love me? You're sure you love me, right? Just make sure Simon Peter didn't think he was the exception. And the last thing here I noticed, go down to verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Thus spake he, signifying the death what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith to him, Jesus says to Simon Peter, follow me. Okay. Last orders to Simon Peter before the Gospels end anyway, right? Last order, follow me. Think Peter's got it? Verse 20, and Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? You got it, Pete? Not asleep, are you? You didn't miss anything this time, did you, Pete? You're with me, right? You're not, right? Okay, follow me. Well, what about him? You say, boy, he is a goofball, isn't he? No, he's just like you. He is just like you. You know, folks, last question I have to ask is, whom do you follow? He says, follow me. Peter, after all this painful thing of being dragged through this, goes, well, what about John? And Jesus Christ's answer, verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The important part of that answer to Peter was, what's it to you? Follow me. So I'll ask you, who do you have your eyes on? Jesus Christ says, follow me. You go, yeah, well, guy over there is a hypocrite, and I just don't know if I want to go to church with a hypocrite like him. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, I knew somebody one time that said they were born again. And I tell you what, they had the filthiest mouth of anybody that I knew. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Who do you have your eyes on? You know, the thing that you got to understand, if in closing, is Jesus Christ came to this earth not to establish a religion. Jesus Christ came to this earth to establish a personal relationship with you. With you. He did not found, boy, some of my brethren would eat me alive for this. He did not found the Baptist Church. Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners, came to die for your sins, to establish a personal relationship with you. And a bunch of us got together and read the Bible, and the Bible basically comes out with Baptistic doctrine, so we call ourselves a Baptist church, but he didn't come to form the Baptist Church, or the Catholic Church, or the Presbyterian Church, or the Methodist Church, much less the Mormon Church. He came to establish a personal relationship with you. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you miss that, you missed everything. If you slept through that, you slept through everything. If you didn't do that, you might as well not have done anything except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ died for your sins, came and shed his blood for you, paid the price for you, offers you eternal life for free. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We didn't knock doors yesterday to be saved or stay saved. We knocked doors yesterday to try to get somebody else saved. We worked yesterday, but it wasn't for ourselves. You understand? Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we open this message here tonight. Simon Peter sitting the last night of normal life that Jesus Christ ever had. The earthly ministry was just closing. Father, we sit here this morning, the latter days, and there just aren't many days left. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to learn about ourselves, from the mistakes that Simon Peter made. We hope that nobody here will have slept through any important part, will have missed anything. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Stand with number 368 in hand. 368. I urge you this morning, if you don't know that you have eternal life, if you would come and ask to be taken aside, to be shown from the Bible how you can know you have eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Do you have problems this morning? Most people would say yes. I understand. And I'm not going to tell you that your problems are going to go away. I will tell you this. If you have problems, but you don't have Jesus Christ, you not only have problems, you have nothing. Knowing Jesus Christ is the first step to making anything right. All right? He died for your sins. He can make your sins right. He can put your eternity right. He can do away with your sins and give you the righteousness of God so that you're a child of God, so that you have relationship with God. Okay? If you don't have that, you have no grounds to pray. You have no grounds to really seek any lasting solution to any of your problems. Jesus Christ is the first step. Most people understand insurance. You don't want to, be sick without it. You don't want to die without life insurance, etc., etc. You can't afford to die without Jesus Christ, because you will die and go to hell, because He paid the sin debt, and you will have to pay that debt in eternity forever if you don't receive Him. I'm asking you this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, to come, allow somebody to take you aside privately and show you out of the Bible how to be saved. That's what I'm asking. Would you come? Number 368. This sermon is plainly for somebody who's never trusted Christ. It's also for Christians who may have missed some things, slept through some things. But let me urge you not to put off a decision for Jesus Christ. Okay? The offer has always been there for you. I can't always say that it'll be as plain and clear for you as right now. Look, if I've got a gift, and I want to give you the most valuable thing in the world, and all you have to do is walk down and get it, why would you hesitate? There's no hidden cost. It's not an ambush. It's not an entrapment. It's about a man that gave it all for you, and the invitation is still open for you to take advantage of it. And the alternative is for you to pay the price forever for yourself. Sorry that it has to be so final. I wish there were degrees to it, but they're not. You're either lost or saved. You have eternal life or you don't. You're a child of God or a child of the devil. Jesus Christ came to fix what was messed up. And He'll fix it for nothing. You acknowledge your sin. Know that you're a sinner. Put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior. Father, I pray that You'll help somebody to make a critical decision here today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last. Forget Mrs. Lethert's card back there on the back. Please sign it before you go here this morning. All right? Have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Christ that paid it all. Pray that something's been made plain today here for someone that it was obscure to before. Pray also, Lord, You'd help us to, all of us that are Christians, to acknowledge these things. Help us to be able to see Simon Peter, ourselves in Simon Peter, rather, and not make some of those silly mistakes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.